I would like for us to turn to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Matthew 11 and verse 28. You've probably figured this out by now, but just in case you haven't, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, really, in a very real sense, Jesus is still offering this invitation today. And the problem is, do we really understand and appreciate what this particular invitation involves? To whom is Jesus extending this invitation? What is Jesus offering those who accept it? What is he expecting from those who desire to respond? And true ease of accepting this invitation, what does it involve? These are just some of the questions that we want to deal with in the Savior's invitation this morning. First of all, we want to look at to whom Jesus is extending this invitation. And I want you to notice the wording of this. All you who labor and are heavy laden. There's nobody excluded. It is a universal invitation. It is for everybody. And because of this, we have to understand that we are talking about those who are heavy laden. Well, what's the burden they have? Well, it's the guilt of sin. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, Paul says, "We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And in James 2 and verse 10, we read, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all." So we understand that all men are carrying around on them the burden of sin. And so all need the gospel invitation. But there is something we need to understand about this burden. This burden has an effect on men. And that effect is separation from God. It's no small matter. Isaiah points out in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, that the Lord's hand is not short, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. This is a burden that carries with it serious side effects. Being separated from God. But in addition to this, it also causes us to have a lack of inner peace. In Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 22, Isaiah says, "There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked." Whenever we are transgressors of God's law, we have no peace. Sadly, it results in enslavement to sin. We heard Jesus say when he was upon this earth, "Most assuredly I say unto you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." In Titus chapter 3 and verse 3, Paul wrote, "For we ourselves were also once foolish and disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, and hateful and hating one another." We become slaves of sin. But we also find ourselves burdened with other things. And we need to take these into consideration because they are important to us. One of the things we have in the as a result of sin is we have the facing of spiritual separation from God in the end. or in eternity. And look at Romans 6, verse 23. Paul says, the wages of sin is death. Now, we know that whenever we sin, we don't fall over dead. And so that's a pretty good observation. It's not talking about physical death. What is he talking about then? He's talking about eternal separation from God. The wages of sin is death. In Revelation 21 and down at verse 8, in the picture here of the judgment scene, he says, the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, I want you to understand that just as universal as this invitation is, this statement in Revelation tells us that everyone who does not receive this invitation, that is, accept it, will be in the lake of fire. Why? Because we are all sinners. Just as we said a few moments ago, in Romans 3, verse 10, Paul wrote, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. No, not one. And as such, it puts us in bondage to sin and puts its heavy burden on our back, as we noted from John chapter 8, verse 34. But, sadly, many are too proud to admit their burden. Well, what are you talking about? I don't have any burden on me. You're just making a lot of noise there. That's not so. But the fact is this, and you cannot escape it. They are sinners. And as such, they are enslaved by sin, and thus incurring the burden that goes with it. And they need divine help to be freed from the burden of sin. Simple as that. If you're not too proud to face the fact that you are a sinner and need divine help, then the Savior's tender invitation is especially designed for you. That's right. It's designed for you. But you're probably sitting there wondering, just exactly what is he offering me in this invitation? What is he offering me? Well, he says, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. You will find rest for your souls. Jesus is offering us a rest. Souls which have been burdened by the guilt of sin can find rest here. Look at John 1 and verse 29. This is whenever Jesus was coming to John, who was the baptizer. And John looked at him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Problem? Sin. Solution? Jesus. Who takes away the sins of the world. In Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ didn't die for us because we were so righteous. He didn't die for us because we were so good. He died for us because we needed him. We desperately needed him. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, John writes, and this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The price paid for our sins, right there. In Ephesians 1 and at verse 7, Paul wrote, in him, that is Christ, We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace. Problem, sin. Solution, Jesus Christ. But the side effects of sin, as I said before, are many. One of the side effects that people suffer is doubt or emotional guilt. They say, how can He possibly forgive me? Because I just am just so unrighteous that there's just no hope. But Jesus offers hope. In John chapter 11 and verse 25, Jesus said to Mary, said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Now that sounds like hope to me. Doesn't it you? And in Revelation 14:13, John says, I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From now on, yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Does that sound like hope? It certainly is. It certainly is. But another side effect of sin, unfortunately, is anxiety. Anxiety. But what does Jesus offer us? He offers us peace. In John 14, verse 27, peace, Jesus says, I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. No need for anxiety. No need whatsoever. It's a peace stronger than any tribulation that the world might bring on us. John 16, verse 33, Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Now listen to this. In the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He offers a peace that goes far beyond this world. A peace which guards our hearts and minds. And as Philippians 4 and verse 7 says, surpasses all understanding. That's our help in this particular time when we need it. But there's also another side effect, and this is very common, and that is fear. When we are carrying around the burden of sin, we are afraid of what's going to happen to us. You know, even, and I find this so often, even people whose pride won't let them admit that they have a need, when it starts coming around to their life being on the line, they have fear. They have fear. And really, it stands to reason they'd have fear. Because they're facing death and they don't even know what's going to happen after death. They don't know. And they're afraid, now get this, they're afraid that the Bible might be right. And that there's a hell. And knowing what they know about themselves, they're pretty sure they're going to be there. And so they live in fear. But what does Jesus offer us? Jesus offers us love. He offers us the same love that exists between the Father and the Son. Look at John 15, verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. That's something pretty special, isn't it? That's something pretty special. In 1 John 4, verse 18, John points out a very important point here. There is no fear in love. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? If I love Jesus and he loves me, then I don't have to have any fear. I don't have to have any fear. Love casts out fear. What kind of love? Read it. Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. Hear what I said just a minute ago? They walk around with the burden of sin on their back. They start looking at facing death's door. And they're afraid. They're afraid. But fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been perfected in love. There's the problem right there. It is a love which passes knowledge. We can't even explain it according to Ephesians 3:19. To know the love which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. But there's one other side effect of sin that we want to look at, and that is depression. You know, depression is the result of frustration. And depression is the cause, is partly attributed to sin. Why? Well, we get depressed when we start thinking about all the sin we've committed, and we've gotten so deep into it that there's no hope for us, and there's no way out, theoretically, no way out. What are we going to do about it? Well, Jesus offers us something, and that brings us out of depression. Joy. In John 15:11, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. It is a joy that is later described as inexpressible joy in 1 Peter 1:8. Inexpressible. It's a joy that transcends everything that makes us sad and depressed. No place for that. We find joy in Christ. Now, I haven't by any means, I know, exhausted all of that pertains to the wonderful rest that Jesus offers, but I want you to think about these, just these points for a minute. He offers us a rest from sin's guilt and a rest from the burden of sin and its side effects. He offers us a rest. And he offers us a rest for our burdened souls now. We're not waiting some off where off in the future to get rest from it. Right now, he calls us today. And he promises us an eternal rest whenever life is over. And incidentally, even physical burdens are made lighter by coming to Christ. Because the soul is made stronger and more able or capable of bearing them. Now, this sounds wonderful, but what does Jesus expect from those who wish to take advantage of his rest? Well, let's just look at it for a moment. He says, "Come unto me. I am gentle and lowly in heart." Jesus is so gentle, and we see a picture of him as he walked on this earth and can understand this. He is so gentle that children were comfortable around him. In Matthew 18 and verse 2, Jesus called the little children to himself and sat one of them in the midst of them. Jesus is so gentle. He is so lowly in heart that Mark 12 and verse 37 says, the common people heard him gladly. Right. And as prophesied, Jesus is tender and sensitive to our needs. In Isaiah 42 and verse 3, that's supposed to be a 2 there, not a 3. 42 and verse 3, Isaiah said, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. And he said, take my yoke upon you. We understand that in Jewish literature, a yoke is representative of the sum total of obligations which, according to the teaching of the rabbis, a person must take upon himself. Now, that comes from recognized authority on word studies. Now, what does that mean? Jesus is expecting those who desire the rest he offers to accept his teaching and to accept whatever obligations he might lay upon them. Come, take my yoke upon you. Now, he says, learn from me. How can we learn from him? One thing, we have to be willing to listen to him. We have to be willing to listen to him and then do whatever he says. You know, there's a good example of this over in Luke 6 and verses 46 through 49. I want to read those for you here. But why do you call me? This is Jesus speaking. Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When the flood came, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built his house on the earth without a foundation and against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. We need to learn from Jesus and learn to be wise. To build wisely. Then he said, my yoke is easy. Now, remember, the yoke represents the sum total of obligations placed upon us. Jesus says, my yoke is easy. Now, John, who was a disciple of Jesus for over 50 years, wrote in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Now, when we take upon him us his yoke, we take all the obligations and everything goes with it. But he says it's not burdensome. Not burdensome. We know all about burdensome. Because when we carried around that yoke of sin on our back, we knew what burdensome was. But he says, mine is not a burdensome yoke. Not a burdensome one. And notice this, what he says. My burden is light. It's not like that big heavy one you carried around on your back.
It's not like that at all. In Philippians chapter 2 and verses 12 and 13, Paul wrote, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure." What was Paul telling the brethren in Philippi? You just keep on keeping on. Keep doing what you know you ought to do, because the burden is light. Why is it so light? Look at Philippians 4 and 3. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what makes our burdens light. Certainly, the burden that Jesus places upon us is lighter than any that sin lays on us. In essence, the Savior's tender invitation is a call to discipleship, to commit your life as a disciple of Jesus, committed to learning from Him and accepting whatever obligations He places upon you. We must become disciples of Christ. No doubt about it. But this might prompt us to ask, just how does one accept this invitation? Now, if you ask different people in the world this, you might get all kinds of different answers. But there's only one of them that is biblical. Really. Jesus taught that we are to do His will from the heart. And it all begins in baptism. Look at it. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 finds Jesus there giving what we call the Great Commission to His apostles. And He spoke to them and said, "All authority has been given in heaven and on earth." Why? He has it all. God gave it to Him. Well, what does that imply? Listen to it carefully. "Go, therefore, and make disciples," that's what we've been talking about, "of all the nations." Well, that's good. That's what we go out and do. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." That's how we accept it. Well, you say, well, how does that deal with this idea of sin, though? I still don't see that. Well, you are baptized for the remission of sins. There you are. The burden of sin is lifted off your back. Acts 2, verse 38, Peter told the people, "Repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Simple as that. Simple as that. The Apostle Paul was told by the man who came to him and told him to get up. What are you waiting for? Why are you waiting? Come on, Paul. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's what baptism is all about. And baptism also is pictured for us as rising in newness of life in Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. We are buried with Him through baptism into death, that Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. You know what that newness of life is? It's walking around without the burden of sin on you and carrying around the easy yoke of Jesus. That's what it is. And that life continues on with learning and doing. You remember we read just a moment ago from Matthew 28, 20? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you.
That learning comes through the apostles' doctrine. That is, the doctrine that came from the apostles. In Acts 2, verse 41, those who gladly received their word, they told them to be baptized. Well, they did. They were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added unto them. And they continued steadfastly in what? The apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And you know what they did in the process? They grew in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what Peter tells us to do today. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, the question is, do you desire the rest for your soul? The only rest that is offered by the Savior's tender invitation. We offer this invitation to you, but we're only doing it on behalf of the Lord. The Lord's not here physically to do that, but we are here and we are offering that invitation to you. How can you do it? Well, come to Jesus in full obedience to His gospel. Commit to becoming His disciple, learning from Him all that He commanded. And as you rise from the watery grave of baptism, you find yourself freed from the burden of sin by virtue of the precious blood of Jesus. Continue from that moment on to observe His commandments. You'll find out that the burden becomes lighter and lighter as you apply His will in your life. Now the question is, have you accepted His invitation? If you haven't, we want to invite you to respond to that invitation today. To confess your faith in Jesus and be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins. Amen.